welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Welcome back another week there once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 19 for October the 22nd, 2013. If you get a chance, check out our website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com where you can comment on these shows. Also, if you have any questions about the shows or comments or maybe even a little bit that you can input into the show, you can call my voicemail number at 724-701-0911. Or simply drop me an email at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm going to lead you through the way of your networks, your servers, just better ways of doing things. In tonight's show, we're going to talk a little bit about scripting and how that we use scripting in our network to automate tasks and to maintain certain aspects of our file shares. And I'll be discussing that with you here in just a little while because, you know, looking at your file shares, especially with us, where we have, 1,400 users on your network, you want to know what's in those file folders, but you don't want to have to go folder by folder by folder. So we have a very easy way to automate that using a script. First one to talk to you here, I received an email today. I received a TechNet Flash newsletter, and we all know that TechNet's going away, and that's a very sad thing. But for now, it's still active, and maybe Microsoft will get enough complaints or enough, enough people yelling to say, hey, look, we need TechNet. TechNet, I've been a member of TechNet now for years, and it's just a very, very great tool to allow us to look at software, to try it out, to see if it's going to work or not on our network. And I guess it did get abused a little bit over the years because I guess people were downloading stuff and running their whole entire shop on it, but that's not really what it's for. But anyway, hey. It's nice to have this software. It's nice to try things out before it's released and before we actually purchase it. So the items that have been released in reading over this stuff is the Windows 8.1 Enterprise Final Version is now available. It's also downloadable for a free evaluation, which if I find it here, I will put a link in the show notes tonight with this episode. And you can go there and actually download it to try it out anyway. They usually give you a 30-day evaluation or a 60-day evaluation to try their software out. Also being released is Windows Server 2012 R2, the System Center 2012 R2, the System Center 2012 R2 Configuration Manager, Hyper-V Server 2012 R2, the Windows Intune 30-day trial, the SQL Server 2014 CTP2, SQL Server 2014 Express CTP2, Windows Server 2012 R2 Essentials, as well as the Windows Azure Pack. So all that stuff is available right now. If you have a TechNet membership, you can go out on TechNet. You can start downloading this stuff. To play with it and try it out and see what you think of it. We haven't really downloaded anything. I've been teaching and I've been playing with Windows Server 2012 R2 since the last pre-release version was released. And it looks good outside of the Windows 8 look and feel of it. But other than that, I mean, you can do a core install and save yourself a ton of time. And that might be something you want to dig into and look at. I'm not sure. So with that said, we're going to drop this web browser down and we are going to now talk about scripting. The first scripting I want to talk to you about tonight is what we use when our users log in. And a script is just a way to give the login command or login prompt or the computer, or however you want to look at it, a set of instructions that will happen when the user or the computer logs in. You could do this both ways. We generally do all of our login scripting with the user accounts. So in Active Directory, and we'll talk about that in a minute, where you put that script at. But first, we want to tell you where you should locate your scripts. So let's go ahead, and I have my virtual machine up here. I have a 2012 server open, and I'm going to dig into my, let's see if I can get to it, my computer or my PC or whatever you want to call it these days. We're going to go to the C drive of that PC. You will go under Windows, and you will look for sysvol, S-Y-S-V-O-L, sysvol. And in sysvol, there's a folder in there that says domain. If you look under domain, then, believe it or not, there's a folder in there called scripts. This is where the default location is for your scripts to reside. We put all of our scripts in here because then we know where they're located. So if we ever go to that server and we say, hey, we got to edit a script or a batch file or a VBS file, which we'll talk about in just a second. And we go in there and we dig around. We can make our edits, rename it, do what we want to with it. So we keep quite a few scripts in there. And that is the default location. Now, for a typical logon script, and we're going to talk to you about logon scripts, but first I'm going to show you, or tell you anyway, through the power of this podcast, we are going to actually go back to my, see right here, a desktop. And what we are looking for now is the administration tools and Active Directory, domain, and users. Once you're in your Active Directory, domains, and users, I think we had a couple in here from a few weeks ago that we learned with. We're going to go into our user accounts. And let's just take the administrative account. If I right-click on it and click on properties, and if I click on the tab for profile, this is where your login script name would go under profile. So under profile, you type in the login script. This can be whatever it is. We base ours off of the users, such as finance. We use batch files for this, folks. They still work on 2012. They still work on 2008. And they work very well. So we use batch files. So we either have something such as finance.bat. We have stuff like maybe for your drafting department, drafting.bat. And we use these to push the users into their U drives. Because at times we find the home folder, if you click on connect on your home folder in the same tab, and we would click on user drive or home drive, whatever you want to use, and we put the file path in there, sometimes we have found that this just doesn't work out properly. And it doesn't work out to the point where it's not positive, it's not an exact every time. But when we built the batch files, we found that the login script will fire every single time and that user will get their home folder. So if you have any trouble with that happening, login script's going to save you. Once again, remember, C drive, Windows, sysvol, domains. Under domains, look for scripts and put your scripts there. Now with that said, let's talk about the script a little bit here. So I'm going to pull up a script that I wrote. I have a bunch of them here laid out already. So let me just see here. And we will pull this script up. And I'm going to pull my logon script up that we use for our users. And the logon script simply says there's an @ echo off. And when you do an echo off on a batch file, it does not show what's happening in that black box. The black box will come up and then it will go away. Now, in that black box, we type in net space use space U or H, whatever the drive layer is going to be, colon. Then you put your space, then it's a backslash, backslash, your server name, backslash, your shared folder name, backslash. Then we use the wildcard, %, username, %. Username is all one word. Then we save that as mapu.bat or finance.bat, whatever, and we put it under that logon Again, it's I'm just trying to get these directories back up here. Again, we put it under the profile tab, log on script. This way you don't have to put a path in there. If it's under that scripts folder, the server knows where to find it. There's only one thing I got to remind you of. Make sure that everybody has read access to that scripts folder. They don't need write access. We're not writing anything back to these batch files. You need read access. This way they can actually, the computer knows that they have permissions to read that folder and that script will fire. I also went as far as to write a script. I actually wrote a program that audits our computer systems. And I wrote a script that we keep in there that runs to do the computer audit every time the user logs in. And then I pull those audits back into my software that I can have into my database for all of our users, all of our computers. It's just a nice, easy way to keep a normal daily audit on your systems, on your computers, and it tracks even who logs into that computer at that given time. So it's pretty nice to do that way, and it just works out really, really well. Let me go back to my notes here because we'll see where we're at. All right, so that is a batch file. And batch files have been around since we used DOS. I mean, you know, .bat files, if you're an old DOS guy like I am, we used to use them all the time. We used to rewrite our auto exec bats to when the computer boots up, it would do something spectacular, right? So, and it would work really, really well. Now, there is another type of a scripting file that you may even be more familiar with. It is called VBS, or Visual Basic Scripting Language. It is much more advanced, and you can begin to have a lot more syntax errors. Now, these files that we created, we use these in two places. The first place, we put these in the startup folder on the computer. And we had to do that because we found that certain computers in our network have to map to certain shared file folders. Now, instead of worrying about what users that is, we worry about what computers it is. So the computers themselves, when the user logs in, that script file, the VBS file, fires every single time, and it fires out of the startup folder. So you put it in startup, and it's there for all users. It works really, really great. The second place that we use VBS files is to run auto tasks on our server. And I told you earlier that we do this to make sure we have all of the unwanted file types cleaned up and all the shares actually looked at every single night. So we wrote the VBS file and we took that VBS file and we put it on our server. We made a folder on the server just simply called tasks for lack of a better word to use, I guess. And in that folder, we actually put these files in there. And then we go and we just set up a standard automated task like you would. System task, it's all they are. We set it to run every night at 11 p.m. It runs. It looks at everybody's folders and what it removes out of our folders. You may allow this, we do not, is exe files. So if a user on our network downloads something and saves it to their user drive, it will delete that file. And I'll tell you more about that in just a second. The next thing we have it pull out is all batch files out of the user folders, because if they have a batch file or if they create a batch file to get to your command prompt, if you have that blocked out with policies, then that will allow that file to run. But this way we have it so it just deletes that file, takes it out of their folder. The other thing we remove is all MOVs, M4Vs, MP4s, MP3s, and anything else that's not work-related. The only thing we want in that shared file folder is documents, Excel spreadsheets, and PowerPoints, to the most part. So those are the files that those users work on. Now, naturally, if they're in their draft, in your drafting lab or something, you have to, you know, kind of tweak this file just a little bit to make sure that those files are allowed to stay also. Now, I know what you're saying is, well, Jack, wonder if somebody does a PowerPoint, because we ran into this. Somebody did a PowerPoint presentation. It's in the folder, and they downloaded some music for it, or they downloaded a movie file that they're going to play in their PowerPoint for a presentation. What we do is, the way the file is written, the way the VBS script is written, is it actually takes a copy of that file, and it will move that copy of that file to another or another folder on that server. And we just call this storage or store. Then it writes it to a log file. So I can go into that log file any morning, bring it up, and I can see who has been trying to, you know, save stuff that they're not supposed to be saving. And if somebody says, hey, my PowerPoint is no longer working, I can very easily go to that stored file folder and I can pull that file back for them. I can adjust my script to say, hey, look, don't delete so-and-so name.mov, and it will leave it alone on its next run. It won't keep moving it every night because you don't have to worry about moving it back. So these are ran as auto tasks. So let me see here. I'm going to bring up my server again. And we are going to go and have a look, as soon as we find it here, at our task manager. Let's see here where we're at. And let me bring this up here. So task scheduler on your server, we just simply bring that up. And if you haven't used task scheduler on server 2008 and 2012, it's changed a little bit. Nothing that you cannot overcome. You bring up task scheduler. You click on create a basic task. You'll give it a name. We'll give it a name, clear folders. And we click next. Daily, weekly, monthly. We want to run daily. Next. Every day, we said at 11 p.m. is what we said. So we'll say 11 p.m. Reoccurring one day, every one day. So every day it's going to reoccur. Click next. Start a program is what we want to do. It's running a program. Click next. And then pick out your script where it's at. So just click browse. Go to that folder I told you to create called scripts. Or I think we do call our scripts actually. And in there you'd find that VBS file. Put that in there. Click on next. And then save it. Now you're set to run that every night of the week. What I would recommend is once you put that file in there, to go ahead and click on run this task now, just to be sure that you can sit and watch it's going to run and not hang up on you. Because if it hangs up, then you might have a shared file folder not in there correctly. The one time we had this run that it did not work is we didn't have the folder created for it to dump the unwanted files into. And that actually caused us a little bit of a headache. So that's something to think about. So very simply, create a basic task and set that task up and you'll be good to go. What we're going to do now is actually wrote another script here, a VBS script. And this VBS script, I think it's right in here. It is called shutdown.vbs. And we're going to bring this up right here. And let me see here, go over this a little bit with you. So VBS script is a little bit more tricky to write, but once you write a couple, don't think you can't write a script, because when we started, we couldn't either, right? Everybody has to take time to learn how to write scripts because they can save you so much time. All the VBS script is for, it's a script to shut down the computers, N-R-O-U, in a domain. So in an organizational unit, in the domain, it'll actually go out and it will shut the computer down. How many times do you walk through your network, either in the morning, you walk through your buildings, and how many computer screens do you still see on? Or everybody wants to pack their bag up, they want to run out of their building at night or run out of your office at night and rush home. What happens? Again, the computer's left on. We've seen computers left on for an entire weekend. We said, we need to not do this. This is bad. So all it does is on error resumes next, and it loops through. And what this actually does is you put this on your domain controller, and this will actually go through and it will shut down all the computers within your domain that are actually on. Now it does give them a little bit of time. The shutdown is set on here to 180 seconds. So what happens then is a box comes up on their computer screen and says, your computer is about ready to shut down. Click here to cancel, or if not, your PC is going to shut down in 180 seconds. It's very easy to run. It does an obshell.run, text shutdown, obrecordset.movenext, and it shuts the computer down. It's very easy. It works very, very nice, very flawlessly. So the scripts I was telling you about, so that's shutdown, and the other script we were telling you about is the one that actually goes out. It scans the folders every night to clean those folders up and take those folders and, as I said, move that stuff, and it writes a log file for you. So it's also very, very nice. There's another file that I found somewhere on the internet a while back, and it is called runas.vbs. Now, what this allows me to do is, you have a trouble with a VBS file. The VBS file, when you put that on the computer under the startup, is it's very much a text file. If somebody right-clicks on it and says open with a text editor, they can actually read that file back. If you have stuff in there, like maybe the administrative password, which we've done, the administrative account, which we've had in there before, a file share location, maybe you don't want your users to know where the files are located at so much as where theirs is located at. So we use this program called screnc.exe. And what it allows me to do, it allows me to take the file. I'm going to open up my instruction text here. I can right-click on the VBS file, choose Edit, and I open it up. And what I do in the end is I run it at a command prompt. Here's the command prompt. We put the file, the VBS file, in the C drive on the root. And we type C:/screnc.exe, or just do that without the .exe, space, the file name .vbs, space, and then whatever you want to call it, .vbe. And VBE, if you've never worked with those before, that is actually a compressed version of the VBS. If you open a VBE file with a text editor, all you see is machine code. It's very unreadable. Then it works exactly the same as a VBS, folks. So then we take that VBE file and we put that VBE file on the actual computer itself, and then we know the users can't read the VBE file. And what I'm going to do for you here, let me get back to my show notes here a little bit. What I'm going to do, I'm actually writing and working right now at getting these scripts up on the website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, because I want you to be able to look at the batch file we made. I want you to be able to look at the VBS script, and I want you to be able to read those. You can actually use those on your network. If you want to use them, feel free to take those, download them. I'm sure I found them on the internet, and I'm just here to share them with you now. I want you to download those files to your computer. Edit it based on your network, your server, your share names, and whatever else is in there. And they're marked in there what you got to change, so it's very easy to edit these files. And I'm also going to share with you this file that I talked to you about, screnc.exe. And I will take those with the instructions, and I'm going to zip those up, and we'll give it the same name, and you can download that also. Just read the instructions.txt, and it's exactly what I told you it was. And it only takes a few seconds to take that VBS and make it a VBE. It's so, so incredibly important that you do that so nobody can actually read those files. You don't want people out there in your network saying, oh, I know what the server name is, or oh, I know the administrator password. We've put that in there, and we've never had it compromised, ever. So again, it would make it a VBE. Very important. So that is about all I have for you today on scripts and the release for Microsoft files and everything. I hope that that's going to help you out. I'm sure I know it helped us out a lot. It helped us so much, such a time saver to have scripts running on your servers. And you're going to find a lot more ways to automate your tasks. If you get a chance, call the show. I would love to get some voicemails to play back to other listeners. Call the show at 724 701-0911 and say, Jack, this is what we use scripts for. Maybe you have some good ideas for us. I just told an intern we have working with us today that I never stop learning. If you're doing this job and you stop learning, one or two things could have happened. One, you could have passed away and you're just not learning anymore. Or two, what could have happened is maybe you got a new job doing something else. You're not in technology anymore. You have to be able to learn this stuff each and every day. Our business changes. I tell people it changes by the minute. Maybe it's by the second now. New things are being released all of the time. Look at Server 2012 coming out. You know, soon we'll go to buy Windows Server 2008, and people say, can't buy that anymore. So you have to be prepared to move over to 2012. And if you're not, you can get caught up somewhere that, you know, of course, don't worry. Windows Server 2008 R2 is going to be around yet for a long time. It's not at the end of life by any means. We talked about, I think, last week or week before that Windows XP is end of life. I mean, it's getting ready to kill itself off here in a few months, and you're not going to get any more updates. So you should be running Windows 7. Should you be running Windows 8? Probably not. You may put some of your users into strokes or something on your network. That's why we're not doing it. We're not quite ready to make that leap of faith. And for companies out there that have done it, then they put Classic Shell on it anyway, and they turn it back into Windows 7. So what are you really gaining? I don't think it's that much faster. Maybe you do. Maybe you want to call the show and say, Jack, you know, we're using it in our network. It is blazing fast, and it works really, really, really well. So, folks, I want to thank you very much for joining me on this show. This show is doing pretty well. And I do ask, if you're listening to this podcast, I had some emails, some great emails that says, Jack, you know, we love what you're doing. We listen to the show all the time, and I truly appreciate that feedback. What I would like you to do, and I've been asking folks, to go onto my iTunes page, and I'll actually put a link on this show with it. So if you go to tipsfromtheserveroom.com and look at show number 19, right under the title and everything I put in there, I'll have a link also there for the iTunes page. Open up iTunes. Even if you don't use iTunes, just go in. You can search for Tips from the Server Room or Jack's Tech Corner. If you search for Jack's Tech Corner, you're going to find my shows in there. Click on Tips from the Server Room and go in there and put a comment in and rate the show. We want to get this show moved up through the ranks of the technology shows, and we want to get it so more and more people listen to it. I would really, really appreciate if you could do that for me. That would work out really, really well. Also, don't forget to go to the website and use the Amazon link. If you're going to buy anything, use my link. It's not a big deal. It's real easy to use. And you can just click on that link, save it as a favorite or a bookmark or whatever you're calling your favorites nowadays, and save that bookmark and use it anytime you're going to buy from Amazon. I get a little bit of money back, and it helps me to buy the gear I need to produce these shows, pay for the website, and all the other jazz that you guys, I'm sure, are much aware of. And if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012 R2, which is live and well and coming along and being released now, or VMware ESXi 5.1 Server, go to the website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and sign up for one of the online classes. All you got to do is look at the top of the page for the online class link and click on that. The classes are self-paced. You watch a video and you take a brief quiz. Each course is low cost, but I've been told by many people, very high impact. Once you complete the course, I will mail you a certificate in the mail. Once again, sign up today at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. One last thing on the website, if you're looking for these scripts and these files, look at the top of the page. I'm building the page right now. Actually, as soon as this podcast is over, I'm putting that page together, and I am going to call it Scripts. And in there, you can download these actual scripts free of charge. They're yours. Play with them. Just, I think I put on there, I maintain no warranty on the scripts. I'm sure I found them. They work for us flawlessly, as I'm sure they will work for you absolutely perfectly. Spread the word. If you know other systems admins out there, people that's they call them the accidental techies in an office, say, hey, you need to be listening to Tips from the Server Room. It's a pretty good show. Hopefully you're going to say that anyway. And hopefully we can share the love for our beloved job that we do, the career that we all share an equal part in, that we love to do so much each and every day. So hopefully we can spread that love out there with all the other folks. So folks, have a great work week, if there is such a thing. I know today was really trying for me. I came in with a splitting headache. I kind of still have it with these headphones on. I don't even know what I'm doing at this point. But anyway, it was a great show. I hope you learned something. Please comment. Let me know what's going on. Thanks everybody out there for the ones that did email me and say saying thanks. I appreciate the feedback that you are listening and you're enjoying these shows. Please comment on the iTunes page. I would really, really deeply appreciate it. Thanks, and I'll be back again next Tuesday with another show from Tips from the Server Room. Take care, everybody. Have a great, great work week. I'll talk to you then. Bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.